We'll see, today's daf is Zion. We are picking up on Vav Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara recorded that Rabbi Yeshua ben Zoros testified that Rabbi Meir ate a leaf of a vegetable in Beis Sha'an. And as a result of seeing this, now again, Rabbi Meir ate this without tithing it, without taking Trumas and Maestros. Rabbi understood based on his behavior that Beis Sha'an is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So as a result, Rabbi got up and declared all of the produce of Beis Sha'an to be tithe free. So the Gemara recorded that Rabbi's family members, his chaverim, were very unhappy with this particular practice, and they ganged up on him. So he says over, so the Gemara starts on Vav Amud Beis 6b, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines are from the bottom. Chavru Avav Echavu Beis Aviv. His brothers, his relatives ganged up on him and they said, Amrulo Makum Shavosecha Va'avosavosecha Nagubo Isir Va'ata Tinhagubo Heter. In a place where you, where your forefathers and your forefathers' forefathers were no egisser. In other words, they treated Beis Sha'an like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the produce was subject to Trumas and Maestros. You're going to be Mekel? So the Gemara says, Darash Lahem Mikra. So Rabbi Darash in the Pasuk, the Kites Nachas Hanachosha Shesha Asa Moshe, Ki Ata Yomim Ahima Hayu B'nei Yisrael Mekatrim Lo, Vayikra Lo Nuchushtan. So it tells the story about the copper serpent that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed when the Jews were in the desert to heal them from the outbreak of snakes and scorpions. Now, Klal Yisrael kept that copper serpent, and the problem was, subsequently, they had turned it into an Avodah Zorah. So the Gemara records that the king Chizkiyahu destroyed it. He ground it up, he destroyed it. So the Gemara says, Kiyad Yomim Ahin, Ahayu B'nei Yisrael Mekatrum Lo Vayikra Lo Nechushtan. Because the Pasuk says in Navi, Klal Yisrael was worshipping it, they called it Nechushtan. Efshar Ba Asa V'lo Biro. By Yehoshaphat v'lo biyaro, is it possible that Chizkiyahu's forefathers, Yehoshaphat, Asa, who were also against idolatry, yet did not stamp out this idolatry? V'halo kol avodah zarah sheba olam Asa v'Yehoshaphat biyarum. Asa and Yehoshaphat destroyed all the possible idolatry all around. And yet, again, they left this one idolatry intact. Top of Zion Amud Aleph, Elo, Makom Hinichu Lo Avosav Lehiskaderbo. Rather, again, it must be literally translated. This means that Chizkiyahu's forefathers left him a place, left him a spot to literally, again, accomplish something. In other words, they left something undone so that he could go ahead and do something of distinction. Now, Bepashtos, it doesn't mean that they calculated this. It just means that after the fact, we look at it and we realize that Yehoshaphat did his thing, Yehoshaphat did his thing, and then leaving something for Chizkiyahu with which to make his mark. So to me, my forefathers left me this place in order for me to establish myself. In other words, Sir Rebbe says, you know, my legacy will be my statement vis-a-vis the city of Beit Sha'an. So the Gemara says, what do we see from here? Mikan l'tamud chacham shamar dvar halacha she'in mazikin oso. From here we see that if a tamud chacham says something, Rashi points out over here, Mikan shera'inu shekibo Rebbe Eidos zu v'lamad himena, from the fact that Rebbe accepted the Eidos, accepted the testimony of Rabbi Yeshua ben Zoruz, so that shows us that what? Then when a tamud chacham comes along and says something, even if it's an incredible chiddush, right? You don't say that's impossible, but rather, again, in mazichin. Mazichin literally means you don't go ahead and separate him. You don't separate him. In other words, you don't separate the bearer of the news, thinking that because he's saying something that's a departure from the norm, therefore, again, it must be that he's wrong. But Amri Leh, ein maznichin oso. Others say what it means is, if a Talmud Chacham comes along and says something that is contrary to what we know to be true, we don't reject him. Va'amri la, ein mazchichin oso. Others use Lashna mazchichin oso. We don't say that because he's a Baal Gaiva, he's coming up with new chidushim. Man dar mazichin kidichsev. The one who says Lashna mazichin, he gets it from Lo Yizach HaChoshen. Because the Pasuk says that the Choshen should not move from the chest of the Kohen. That's the lashon there. Lo yizach hachoshen. Umand so too again, meaning if a Talmud Chacham shows up and he has testimony, and that testimony runs contrary to that which we already know, we don't tell him to go away. Okay, man damar in maznichin kidichsiv kilo yiznach li olam Hashem. And what is maznichim? Is the pasuk says the Kodesh Baruch Hu will never totally reject us. The Kodesh Baruch Hu will never totally reject us. So too again, a Talmud Chacham comes bearing information that runs a bit contrary to that which we know to be true. We don't reject him. And the Mandar used Lashon Maschichin, saying that it was the Gaiva of the Talmud Chacham that caused him to give his testimony. Tisnan, Misharabo Zechuchi Halev, Rabu Machlokes Bi Yisrael. Because as the Mishnah says, when the arrogant people became more prevalent in Klal Yisrael, there was one more Machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Maskev La Rav Yehud Rei Rav Shem Ben Pazi, Umi Igalamand Amar the base Shan Lab Meretz Yisraelim. So comes along Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi and says, but is there really anyone who holds that Beit Sha'an is not part of Eretz Yisrael? V'haksiv, but the pasuk says, V'lo horish menashez Beit Sha'an v'es binosa, v'es tancha v'es binosa. So we'll say, so we see from here that Beit Sha'an was one of the cities that was conquered by Yehoshua. So if it was conquered by Yehoshua and it came into Eretz Yisrael, would it not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? Ishtamiti had Amr Shimon al-Yakim Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. So he forgot the following teaching. This is actually an amazing halacha, or amazing statement. There are many cities which were captured and conquered by the Jews when they came into Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim that were not recaptured by the Olei Bavel. Remember again, after the first Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, we are sent into the diaspora for 70 years. Upon our return, we quote-unquote reconquered Eretz Yisrael. What the Gemara is saying over here is that not all of the areas conquered under the conquest of Yehoshua were reconquered when we came back from Bavel. V'kasavar, and this opinion holds, Kiddusha Rishon Kitch L'Shaitav L'Kitch L'Lasid Lavo, that the first Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, which refers to the sanctity that was created through the conquering under Yehoshua, that sanctity only lasted as long as Klal Yisrael was living in Eretz Yisrael. But the moment that we were exiled, the Kiddusha is lost as well. Therefore, again, when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed and we are exiled, the land loses its Kiddusha, and ultimately, again, it only regains its Kedusha when we come back from Bavel. But only the places settled by the Jews when we came back go ahead and essentially regain this Kedusha. V'henichu, so why did they not reconsecrate Beis Sha'an? V'henichu, kidei sheyismuchu aleihem aniyim b'shvius. There's an advantage to not having Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. What's the advantage? That during the Shemitah year, the land could be used and cultivated and farmed by the poor. So in order that the poor should have an extra form of support, they decided not to go ahead and re-sanctify Beis Sha'an. Amr the Rabbi Yirmiyah the Rabbi Zeira, the Har Rabbi Meir, Allah, but one second, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, let's go back. Remember, this whole discussion started because Rabbi Meir ate a leaf without tithing the vegetable. So let's analyze this. First of all, he only ate a leaf. Amar le, so the Gemara says, so maybe now what's the chapa? Rashi says, the achidas arayhu visharya af baretz. Then remember again, eating of a leaf is what we call achilas aray, a snack. Snack, you could eat a snack even from untithed produce. So that's what's happening over here. He's just simply eating achilas aray. So that's why he didn't have to tithe. So the Gemara says, Amrale me aguda achle. He ate it ultimately again from bundled vegetables. Once the vegetables are bundled, they're considered to be finished produce. Once they're finished produce, you cannot eat of it without taking trimis and maestras. Utinan, yarek haneagad, once vegetables are bundled, mishe yagad. Ultimately again, once they are bundled, they are considered to be completed. Rashi says, Chokva l'maiser, they're considered to be completed, and ultimately, again, subject to tithes. V'dilma lavadaite, maybe Rabbi Meir just didn't maybe he just forgot. Hashta behemton, meaning that's why he ate the leaf without tidying the vegetable. Hashta behemton shel tzadikim ina kadosh baruch hu, maybe takala al yodon tzadikin atzman l'kol shekin. So we're going to discuss this refrain, which has now come up a number of times and over the last couple of days. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not cause bad things to happen through the animals of tzadikim, certainly through tzadikim himself, meaning what's the notion that the tzaddik forgets, to which the Gemara says, "Vidilma iser alehem mimakom acher." Maybe Rabbi Meir took meiser on this particular vegetable that he ate, but he took meiser from a separate batch. The Gemara says, "Lo nechshenu chaverim litrum shalom min amokov." So even though you can do this, meaning you could separate out meiser on produce that is right in front of you from a pile of produce that is not right in front of you, that is called taking trumas and meisers shalom min hamukov, from that which is not in proximity to you. Although this is possible, and if you do it, it works, it is not preferable. So we don't assume that Rabbi Meir did such a thing. Maybe Rabbi Meir, you know, literally cast his eyes on one side of the pile of vegetables and ate from the other. Maybe he designated the right side of the pile to be trumas and meisers, and he ate the leaf from one of the vegetables on the left side. Amarlei chaziman gavra rabba kamasidalei. To which the Gemara answers, look, remember, we know all of this because Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz gave this testimony. He vetted the story before he told it to us. In other words, he didn't just show up and tell us this story. Obviously, he did his homework, he did his due diligence, and if he's still telling it to us, it must mean that what? It must mean that halacha lemaisa. Halacha l'maaseh, he looked into all the possibilities. So the Gemara, so the only logical conclusion that the Gemara comes up with is that ultimately, again, Beis Sha'an did not have Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael, right? Because ultimately, when the Olei Bavel came back, they chose not to resanctify the city. Why did they choose not to resanctify the city? In order that the Aniyim should go ahead and have extra space from which to produce a livelihood during the Shemitah year. So the Gemara says, we've been saying this over and over. My behemton shel tzadikim, what is this thing you keep on saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cause negative things to happen through the animals of tzaddikim, so through tzaddikim themselves? What's the story of the animal? So the Gemara says, "My ben shel tzaddikim d'rei Pinchas ben Yair." So the Gemara says, it's talking about the animal Rav Pinchas ben Yair. What happened to Rav Pinchas ben Yair? Havakaz l'pidyon shvuyim. Rav Pinchas ben Yair was known to always undertake the mitzvah of redeeming captives, pidyon shvuyim. So one time, Rav Pinchas ben Yair was going to do pidyon shvuyim. Paga be b'ginoi nara. He went ahead and he came to the river Ginoi. Amar lei Ginoi, chaluk li mimech. Ginoi, split your waters for me. Ve'ev arbach, and I will go ahead and pass through you. Amar lei ato holech la'asos ritzon konecha, ve'ani holech la'asos ritzon koni. So the Ginoi River said, listen, you are going to go ahead and you're on a mission to fulfill the will of your Creator. I am fulfilling the will of my Creator by flowing. Ata safek ose, safek iata ose, ani vadai ose. You, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, it's a safek whether or not you'll be successful. I know for sure I'll be successful. Very profound idea that the river was saying to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, we're both looking to execute and to follow through on a command from our Creator. But here's the difference. I know for sure that I'll be successful. You don't know for sure if you will be successful. Goes Rani. So what happens? So Rabbi Pinchas and Yair says, "Goes Rani alecha shelo yavru becha mayim liolam." I'm sorry. Amarle im iata cholik. Goes Rani alecha shelo yavar becha mayim liolam. So Pinchas ben Yair says, "Here's the deal. I hereby decree that if you don't split right now, the water will never flow through you again." To which the Gemara says, "Chalakle." Ultimately, again, the water split. Hava hu gavra da hava darichiti lepischa. There was another man who was traveling with Pinchas ben Yair who was carrying flour with which to make his matzahs for Pesach. So Pinchas ben Yair says, I need you to go ahead and split for this person as well, the b'mitzvah asik, because ultimately, again, he's engaged in mitzvah. Or it's not actively engaged in mitzvah, but he's in the process. He's journeying for a mitzvah to go and bake his matzah for Pesach. So the Gemara says, chalukli, the river splits for him as well. There was an Arab merchant who was traveling with Ben Pinchas ben Yair. Amalei chalukli nami lahai. You have to split for this guy also. Because people shouldn't see, if it doesn't split for him, and it splits for me, or Pinchas ben Yair, and it splits for the guy who's going to bake his matzahs, and it doesn't split for the Arab merchant who is accompanying us, people are going to say that the Jews are inconsiderate. They're inconsiderate. They don't look out for the people who are journeying with them. Amar Rav Yosef, Kama nafish gavra mi Moshe v'shisin ribon. So the Rav Yosef says, you see that Pinchas ben Yair was even greater than Moshe Rabbeinu and all of Klal Yisrael. How so? Dilu hasam chadzimna, because Moshe Rabbeinu only split the sea once. V'hacha t'lasa zimnin. When Pinchas ben Yair, he split the sea twice. Once for himself, once for the guy carrying the flour for the matzah, and once for the Arab merchant. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma hachanami chada zimna." Maybe over here, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair didn't split the sea three times, but rather again, he split it once and ordered it to remain open. Ela kimoshe v'shisin rabon. Rather, what it means is, you see from me that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu and the 600,000 Jews. Now, there's an incredible lesson to be learned from this Gemara, which is this yisod. This incredible yisod that the river thought that it was greater than Pinchas ben Yair, because the river said, I could absolutely with certainty do my mission. You, safek oseh, safek eino oseh. Maybe you'll be successful, maybe you won't be successful. But really, it's fakert. It's because at the end of the day, that when a human being does things, he's not guaranteed of success. That's why his initiatives and his endeavors are so much greater. Because it takes so much more koach to be able to go ahead and do what you have to do, even though you know you might not be successful. And to still get up and to still go and to still do. Mashenkin, if you're assured of success, doesn't take that much energy, that much koach to be able to get yourself moving. Ikla lahu ushpiza. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair went to a particular inn. Ramulei sar lechamra. So they gave barley to his donkey. Lo achol. But the donkey would not eat of the barley. So they went ahead and they sifted it. Lo achol, still wouldn't eat the barley. Still wouldn't eat the barley. Nakrinhu, they cleaned it some more. Right, Rashi says with their hands they picked out impurities. Lo achol. So the donkey's not eating anything. Amrlohu dilma lo masrin. So Pinchas ben Yair says, is it possible that the wheat is not tithe, that the barley is not tithe? So the Gemara says, asrinhu. So sure enough, they found that it wasn't tithe, and they ate and va'achol, and then the donkey ate it. So we'll say, so this is the famous refrain that the Gemara has been using over and over and over. You know, behemton shel tzadikim. The animals of tzaddikim don't do anything wrong. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly will not allow the tzaddik to ultimately stumble in misdeeds as well. So this, all of this comes from the animal of Pinchas ben Yair, the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair, who would not go ahead and eat untithed produce. So the Gemara says, Amar ani azul ochelas lasas ritzon kono v'ata machila osotval. So Pinchas ben Yair gives the mussar. He says, this poor donkey is just trying to go ahead and carry through on its master's wishes, and you want to go ahead and feed it tevel? So the Gemara says, Amin l'chayva, just by the way, is there an obligation to tithe food that's being given to an animal? V'hotinan, we learned, halokeach lezera ulebehema. If a person is purchasing seed, or for that matter, animal feed, or flour in which to use in the process of tanning hides. Apparently, flour was part that was used for tanning hides. The shemen laner, incredible tie-in, or oil for the candle. The shemen lasuch, or oil for anointing purposes. Lasuch boasakelim, pater. Ultimately, again, there is no obligation of demai in this particular circumstance. In other words, you don't have to be choshish for a demai if you are purchasing the food item for non-human consumption purposes. To which the Gemara says, husk. So therefore, again, why is Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair worried about his animal eating untithed produce? Hasam ha itmar lo amr Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela shalakhan mitchila lebehima. So that's true. That's true of what? That's true. So again, just to be clear, when it turns out that in this story of Pinchas ben Yair, the donkey was being given the flour of an amoretz, which should have really been tithed alts demai. The animal won't eat it. Pinchas ben Yair says, has it been tithed alts demai? They tithe it for demai, and then ultimately the animal eats it. To which the Gemara asks, does the gzera of demai apply to animal feed? Does it apply to animal feed? So the Gemara says, the answer is no. So how do you understand Rav Pinchas ben Yair? How do you understand then what happened in the story? To which the Gemara says, here's the resolution. Lo shanu ela shalachan metchil lebehema. When do we say that there's no din of demai by animal feed? When the produce was purchased metchila for animals. Avalachan metchila le'adam. But if the food was first purchased for human consumption purposes, v'nimlach aleim lebehema, and then afterwards you choose to go ahead and give it to a behema, chayiv la'aser. Ultimately, again, you are chayiv to go ahead and give maaser from it. So it could very well be in this case that the produce that was brought was ultimately initially used for human consumption and decided to give it to the animal, and therefore again, the animal wouldn't eat it until demai was taken. If somebody purchased fruit from the marketplace for consumption purposes, and then a person decided to give it to his animal, so the Bosse, this v'hatanya is not a question, it's a support. So you see from here that if someone bought produce from the shuk, and initially his intention was for human consumption, he subsequently changed his mind and then wanted to give it to his animal. The halacha is you can't give it to your animal until it is tithed. So the Gemara says, goes back to the Rav Pinchas ben Yair story. Shamar Rebbe, so we'll say this is Zayin Amud Aleph, first wide line. Shamar Rebbe, Nafak Lape. Rebbe went out, he heard that Rav Pinchas ben Yair was present, he went out to greet him. Amarli Ritzoncha Sa'odetzli, says Rebbe, do you want to come? This is Rebbe talking to Pinchas ben Yair. Pinchas ben Yair, will you come and join me for a meal? Amar Lohim. Pinchas ben Yair said, sure. Tzav upanav shel Rebbe. Rebbe became radiant with joy. Radiant with joy. We'll see in just a moment. Well, actually, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Tzav upanav, samach mitnei shalohayra Pinchas ragi lehanos mishal achirim kedele kamon. Ultimately, again, we'll see, Pinchas ben Yair never usually accepted invitations from people. So Rebbe was exceptionally happy that Pinchas ben Yair accepted his invitation. So Amar Lon, Kimeduma, so Pinchas ben Yair sees how happy Rebbe is, and he says, Amar Lo, Kimeduma ato, Shemudra hanami Yisraelani. So Pinchas ben Yair says, Rebbe, you think that I don't accept people's invitations because I refuse to get benefits from another Jew. It's not true. I love Jews. Yisrael kedoshim hein. Jews are holy. But here's the problem. Here's why I don't usually accept invitations. Yesh rotze ve'emo. Because there are some people who want to, let's say, invite me and share with me of their food. That's their rotze ve'emo. But they don't really have enough to share with me. V'yesh sheyesh lo ve'eno rotze. And there are others who have enough. But the truth is, they don't really want to share with me, and they just feel compelled to go ahead and invite me to share with their meal. And at the end of the day, I don't want to go ahead and get benefit from. So I don't want to get benefit from someone who really doesn't have enough to benefit me. Nor do I want to get benefit from someone who's only doing something out of obligation, but is not really doing it with a complete heart. Uksiv, and the pasuk says. So here Gemara quotes the pasuk from Mishlei. Al tilcham eslechem ra'ayin, ve'al tisav lemat amosav. Ki kemo sha'ar benafsho, kenhu ochal ushisei yomer loch, velibo bal imach. So again, Shlomo HaMelech says, don't sit down and break bread with someone who has a ra'ayin. And don't go ahead and be tempted by his advances. Because ultimately, again, he'll invite you to eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. So Pinchas ben Yair says, because there are some people who have, but don't really want to share. There are other people who want to share, but don't have. I just took the approach of not accepting invitations. However, va'ato, rotza, v'yishtcha, but you, Rebbe, you have the means, and I know that your invitation is genuine. Mi'ahashta misarhivna de b'milsa de mitzvah katarachna, So, you know, the reality is now I'm in the middle of a mitzvah mission, so I can't stop and have a meal with you now. But on my way back, I certainly will stop in and we'll break bread together. Kiyosa, where after Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair finished his Pidyon Shavuyim, he's on his way back home. He stops by the house of Rebbe. Kiyosa, Isrami Asrami, Al Bahu Pischa Dahavu Kamen Be Kudinaisa Chibarta. So on the way back, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair comes to Rebbe's home. And what does he find by the entrance of Rebbe's home? White mules. White mules. Omer, Malach HaMavis Beveso Shazeh Vani Esedetlo. So Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, sits at the entrance where this man of Rebbe's home, and I'm going to come in. So we'll discuss why white mules, we call them the angel of death. Shama Rebbe, Rebbe hears Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair won't come into his home because of the white mules. Nofak Lape, Rebbe comes running out. Omer Lei, Mizab Ninalu, Rebbe, don't worry, I'm going to sell the white mules. You can't do that because the white mules are very dangerous, as we'll see in just a moment. And if you sell them to someone else, you're over on Lifnei Iver. To which the Gemara says, Mafkar Nalahu. So Rebbe says, don't worry. So Rebbe says, don't worry, I'll make it Hefker. I'll make it Hefker. So Mafshes Hazeka, that's even worse. Because if you make it Hefker, that means there's no owner. At least when there's an owner, the owner will try to do his best in order to make sure that they don't harm anyone. If it's ownerless, who knows what's going to happen. Akarna luhu. So ultimately, again, I'll cut off the hooves. So that we'll see that the danger of the white mule was in its kick. Sakarna luhu. So literally, again, I'll uproot the hoof. In other words, I'll do something to the hoof. Ultimately, that will render the animal unfit or unable to do harm. Ikatzar balichaim. You can't do that, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair says, because you're going to be distressing the animal. Kantlina luhu. I'll kill it. I'll just kill the white mules. Ika bal tashkis. You can't do that because it's bal tashkis. It's wasting something that is in this world. Hava kamavatish ba tuva. So Rebbe was pleading with Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair to please come into the house and eat something. Gaba tura benayhu. Something amazing happens. A mountain emerges between them. Look at Rashi. First wide line in Rashi. Gaba tura benayhu vehevdilon. A mountain went ahead and came up and separated them. So in other words, this miraculous emergence of the mountain was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair from Rebbe's constant insistence of coming into his home. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair didn't want to come in, and the mountain came up and prevented him from coming in. So Rebbe begins to cry. It's actually amazing. So the Gemara says, Bacha Rebbe, Rebbe cried, Va'amar, Ma b'chayehen, kach b'misasan. If this is how the tzaddikim are separated, you know, in their lifetime, so too how they're separated in death. Now look at Rashi just a moment. B'chayehen, shal tzaddikim, kach nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu al libo kol ta'al ta'abasam, shalol lahabiyun al daitam, shegaram hadavar shenichnas b'pesach hapardos, sheyifrosh velo yavor al daito harushon shein darko liso mishalachin klikamon. So this is actually amazing. So Rebbe understood the emergence of the mountain as well as the white mules in the following way. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair had taken it upon himself not to benefit from other people. That was his hashkafas hachayim. He did not want to benefit from other people. And as such, again, now because of a variety of circumstances, he was going to benefit from Rebbe. But apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he really didn't want to do it. He did not want to do it. Because he did not want to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused this miracle. At first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the white mules there. The white mules prevent him from coming in. And even though I'm sure they could have found some type of etza for the white mules, ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the mountain to spring up so that Rebbe does not have to go ahead and partake of the hospitality, that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair doesn't have to partake of the hospitality of Rebbe. Because at the end of the day, he just didn't want to benefit from other people. So Rebbe cries and he says, if you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the needs and the wants of tzaddikim in Olam Hazeh, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu must look out for the tzaddik in Olam Haba as well. So the Gemara says, "Da'am Reb Chaim Bar Chanina Gidolim Tzadikim V'Misasan Yosrem B'Chayein." Because Reb Chaim Bar Chanina said that tzadikim are even greater in their death than they are in their lifetime. Shene'emar. Where do we see this? Because the pasuk says, "Vayhi heim kovrim ish v'hinei roes ha'gedud v'yashlichu es ha'ish bekever alisha v'yilech v'yiga ha'ish ba'atzmos alisha." So the Navi records an incredible story about a man who had passed away. They were in the middle of burying him, and they were attacked. they were attacked by one of the troops of Aram. So what did they do? They didn't have time to dig. They threw him into the burial grave of Elisha. But it turns out that his remains touched Elisha's remains. As a result, he got up, right? He got up and he was alive. So you see that Elisha performed Tchiyas HaMeisim even after his death. Amar Lei Rapapa La'abai V'dimolek Yumei Bob B'chassad Elio. So maybe again, this was in order that the blessing that Elio gave to Elisha should be fulfilled. D'chsiv V'ayihina Pishnai Berucha Chaylai. So the Gemara says over here, according to the Pasuk, that when Elisha blessed his servant, or his Talmud, Elio, when Elio blessed his Talmud, Elisha, he said to Elisha, you should have Pishnai, you should be double as great as I am. Elio performed one act of Tchiyas HaMeisim, so Elisha now is going to perform two. One of them was performed during Elisha's lifetime. The second one was performed again after his death. When this dead body touched Elisha's remains and came back to life, that was Elisha's second opportunity at Tchiyas HaMeisim. Amar Lei Ihachi, Hainu Disanya Al Raglov Amadu LeBeis Lo Halach. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says if that's the case, that's the meaning here. Where it says that what? Where this individual who came back to life, he didn't really come back to life. Rather, again, he just went ahead and he got up and he walked out of the burial cave. In other words, the Tchiyas HaMeisim happened enough so that the man should not lay at rest in Elisha's kever. That was a disrespect to Elisha. He came back to life enough to get up on his feet, walk out of the burial cave, and I guess walk into a different grave. But he didn't go home. So Rashi says over here, at the end of the day, if this was about Eliyahu HaNavi's bracha, that Elisha should have pishnayim and should do two acts of Tchiyas HaMeisim, I would have thought that this individual would have come back to life in totality. Ela b'may kaim. So if that's the case, then how was Elio's bracha to Elisha? How did it come to fruition? Meaning Elio did one act of Tchiyas HaMeisim. He gives Elisha the bracha that Elisha should be able to do two acts of Tchiyas HaMeisim. One of them we know about, we read about in Navi, but where did the second one come? Oh, to which the Gemara says, "Ma kaim ki da'am Rav Yochanan sheripat sara'as Naaman shishkul kemis." That Elisha healed Naaman. Naaman was the general of Aram who was stricken with tsaras. Elisha healed his tsaras, and the healing of tsaras is the equivalent of bringing someone back to life. Shene emar al notihi kemis. Ultimately, again, this is the pasuk from Miriam when Miriam Hanavio ultimately contracts tsaras. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Anatihi kemis, do not let my sister be like someone who is dead." So the fact that he healed Naaman from Tzaras was his second act of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Amar Rav Shuvan Levi, "Lama nikra shman yamim?" So ultimately, again, what yamim? I should say this is talking about v'hu ana asher mata es hayamim b'midbar b'roses hachamor l'tziv on. So the question is, why are they called? Why are these animals, right? These mules called yemim. So the Gemara said, that's a mule. Why are they called yemim? She'imasa mutalas ala brios. Because now we're going back ultimately again. Going back to the previous story ultimately of the white mules. So why did Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, why did he say that the white mules are malach hamavis? To which the Gemara says, yemim she'imasa mutalas ala brios. Ultimately, again, they're called emim or yemim because their fear is upon all people. Darim chanina, miyamai lo sha'alani adam amakas parda levana b'chaya. So Rabbi Chanina said, no one ever asked me, I mean, I never heard of a case of someone who was kicked, right, kicked by a white mule and survived. So the Gemara says, "V'haka chazin dechay." It's not true. We see people get injured by white mules, and they still live. Ema v'chayis. Say that ultimately, again, I've never seen someone injured by a white mule, and the wound totally heals. Meaning the wound never fully heals. The Gemara says, "Not true." V'haka chazin demissi. It's not true. We see that it does heal. Rather, the Gemara says that dechiyavran resh karayhu coming on. Ultimately, again, the Gemara says, what it means is that halacha l'maisa, this is a dafka, a specific type of mule. This type of mule, ultimately, is talking about a mule with white-tipped feet. Rashi says over here, so this mule with white-tipped feet, so this is the type of mule where if it goes ahead and it kicks you, ultimately, again, you do not totally heal from this. This apparently was the type of mule that Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair saw at the entranceway of Rebbe and called this particular type of mule called this particular type of mule a malach hamavis. So the Gemara goes a little bit weiter. The Gemara says, "Ein old milvado." We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Hashem at the Gemara of Ein Od Milvado tomorrow. Again, I apologize, dramatically apologize for my absence from Shir this morning. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a lichtige Chanukah.